I love that you share so much about your wife, but so much on here about your faith, because they do go hand in hand. And her being a, you know, total Proverbs wife right there, where she's like, you know what, I'm going to stand by him through those things. And sometimes we have to pull away in situations. You know, I have friends that are going through tricky stuff right now in marriages, and they're coming, they're going back to refocus, because that's what it's about. You know, you make a vow. It's not just until things get hard, you know, it's getting through them. And you guys have two incredibly gorgeous children. You, yeah, you share their pictures all the time. That's why I love your page, David. It's like you do so much on your actual.com, but on your social media platforms, and we've all dealt with suppression. You know, we're talking about anything as being a conservative, and definitely now even more so being a Christian. I've seen a lot more with being a Christian than being even a conservative. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy how the church has been totally attacked on so many levels. And you can really feel the split and the divide happening too, but also the rising that's happening in this time. There's a massive revival that's happening. And
yes, I think you're a big part.
Yeah, and I think you're a big part of that. That's why I wanted you on this program, is there's so many people that speak about how much they love America. You're very active about speaking about how much you love America. Why? Clearly, if anyone hears more of your story on this, they'll understand you weren't always, you know, the guy they see now that does his commentary, and he's well-groomed and suited up and, you know, on a private jet with Michael and Dell and doing all that fabulousness. You know what I mean? Now they can actually see that you've come from hard pastures, and this is why you're speaking from a place of knowing. You know, you can't work for God if you haven't understood or worked for Satan at some time. Because you need to understand, it's so much easier when you switch, because you're like, you know what? I really get it. I worked for this other guy. It's not such a good deal over here. This is a great deal here. He loves me. He saved me. He's here for me.
Well, and that's kind of it's broad too, because, you know, working for the enemy is really also just working it out of ignorance, right? A lack of knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. And somebody doesn't have to necessarily, I know this isn't what you meant, but somebody doesn't have to necessarily be fully engaged in working in the works of evil, but they can even just be working and trying to do good without God. You know, that's the other thing the enemy would love for people to do, is just be busy doing good, right? Martha was busy trying to be good. She was trying to take care of all these things. And she's like, Mary, why are you just sitting there? And she was sitting there with God. She wanted to have, you know, that close encounter with God in the flesh, Jesus. And so that's the other enemy of the kingdom, is just trying to do things in our own way, absent from listening to and being yielded to God's presence and God's direction in our life. And so when a person becomes aware of that and realizes, man, especially again, they have to taste what it actually means to be in God's flow, to be a part of his kingdom, actively moving forward with the whole kingdom of heaven behind you. When you taste of that, then you realize how much you were missing out on, even if you were just trying to do good, or obviously if you were actually trying to, you know, you were part of something that's evil. Mm-hmm. So it is a beautiful thing, you know, taste and see that God is good. Once you've tasted, nobody can take that away from you.
Mm-mm. No, they really, I have to go back sometimes, and I don't know if you do this, David, where you reflect and go, that was totally God. But in the moment, you didn't think it was. You know, in the moment, you're like, oh, I can't, I don't understand, or I'm confused, or any of those things. And I've had many moments where I'm like, where are you, God? And then I go back and I go, he was right there. What do you mean? He was right there. He was actually telling you, no, I'm guiding you away from this. This is not good stuff. So that's the biggest thing, David. I know you talk a lot about the state of our nation, the state of the world. I guess, you know, what do you really foresee, or what has God put on your heart that's missing in culture, especially with young men and in this world? I feel it's God wholeheartedly, which is why I'm like, talk God, God, God. I talk about it now all day, every day, because it's so obvious to me. But I want to know, for you as a man who's very in in the circuit of pop culture. People near and far follow you. You have millions of fans. You know, really, what do you think is going on in the culture level with our men today?
Well, it's a sad state of affairs when so much of what comes out from television, from advertisements, from what our kids are being taught and our young people are being taught in schools and universities, that men, you know, masculinity is a bad thing. And I'm always trying to decipher, there's what we have to deal with in the natural, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's always an answer in the supernatural, in the spirit realm. So obviously God behind all of it, but before I get to that, I'll address what's happening in the natural. What's happening in the natural, this attack on masculinity and on men, you know, it's mm-hmm. right now it's more of an attack on white men. You know, if you're white and you're straight, then it's like you're automatically the enemy. Well, look at the spiritual supernatural side of that. That is still a demonic attack against men, period. But it's also based in racism. So these spirits behind the scene, they know how to work together in conjunction to try to create chaos in the natural. And what we need are men that are not willing to back down, not willing to stay silent, that are willing to actually be the dominant force that the man, the father, if they're a father, should be, and take that role as the foundation of the family. The attack on the family in this country has been going on for decades, and it's only getting worse. And that's why spiritually, what I see ultimately is what's going to be the main thing that tips the scale are going to be men that not only identify with who they are as a man, but also understand that that's actually a calling from their creator, from our papa, from our God. And he wants us to play that role, but he wants, you know, us to be engaged with him and cooperating with him, you know, co-laboring with him as we are strong, as we are compassionate, as we are loving, caring, guarded, and guiding. And if we're married like I am, then it's a co-laboring with my spouse. She's not beneath me. She's a part of me with God in the center. But we need a revolution and an awakening of men that get back to that core basis, especially in the church. You know, it's so interesting that we were in this 2021 year and Donald Trump did not win re-election. And I actually personally think that he did. My personal opinion.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I don't believe there's any way, shape, or form that Biden got 80 million votes. But here's the issue. The fact that that was allowed to happen, because it happened. So that's it right. Was allowed to happen. You know, people say God is in the details and, you know, God is in control of all things. That's a whole nother rabbit trail. I don't believe God's in control of all things, because when some maniac rapes or murders somebody, God wasn't in control of that. He gave man free will. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, not my will be done, but your will be done. That's the constant battle that we're in the natural here in this country, mm-hmm. in the world, is man's will against God's will. So as godly men, what we should be asking and seeking is, God, what's your will for my life, for my family? And give me the courage and the boldness to stand up and to speak boldly, to profess who you are to me, who you are to America. We need a revolution of that. I was actually just talking to a good friend of mine, Brandon Tatum, about this. He's a very strong Christian as well. And we were talking about maybe launching something at some point, but the goal was for men to get together, to have that heart to heart, and to have an awakening of a revelation of God's love for them. And when we see men begin to rise up, no matter where they're at, in their home, first and foremost, that lead with prayer, that lead with reading the Bible, that encourage, you know, that in their family, and then are open to do that with their friends, then we're inviting God into all the situations around us. And that is, I believe, the only answer for what's going to truly turn the tide in this country. We need an awakening of God's goodness and a revelation that he wants to be a good father to us. And then we can relay that to others. And that's what I think it's going to take to really change things in this country, because nothing coming from academia, nothing coming from the entertainment industry, from the sport industry, all the high kings and queens in these different industries, sports and entertainment, media, so many of them that have so many loud voices are completely absent of an understanding and a revelation of God. And in a lot of instances, they're actually directly glorifying evil. And so it's a spiritual battle that we're in. And I think that it's only going to be through God's Spirit that we actually triumph. And that's through us sharing and being his hands and feet here on this earth.
Amen. No, and I agree with you. Every single thing that you said is so on point and so true. We see it in the news every day. God is missing throughout a lot, and people are not catching it. And I'm like, you know, you're blaming this one and you're blaming that one, but it's God. It's God, you know, it's wholeheartedly, doesn't matter what side you sit on. If you don't have God, your compass is not going to be reading right. It's just not. You're going to be thinking more about self or thinking more about this, and you're not thinking about him. And everything is already worked out when it's with him. When it's not with him, that's where, no, and please expand, because I could tell you wanted to go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I kind of got on a little rabbit trail there, but you reminded me in something you said. I just kind of started off with, you know, Biden is the president right now in office in the natural, by all means, he's the president of the United States. And I almost wonder if there were too many Christians, too many people that professed in Jesus, believing in him, yet were, I'd say, you know, spiritually, they were just condemning and then vocally condemning Donald Trump and not supporting him. I wonder if there were too many believers that were caught up in everything they're hearing from the mainstream media and all these things and making decisions carnally outside of spiritually recognizing who Donald Trump was for our country. Instead, spiritually, I recognize that. That's why I support him. Not because he's a billionaire, not because he was on The Apprentice, not because of any of the other things that he's ever done, not because of his past, but because of his policies and what he was putting first. I felt God on those things. And that enables me to look beyond the other stuff. And then obviously see through the bull crap, so much of the propaganda that the mainstream media and all these pundits and everybody else wants to harp on. I wonder if there were so many believers, too many believers, that were actually not seeing and identifying who God was trying to give us to this country as a president of the United States, that the steal was allowed to happen. I don't know. It's a personal belief of mine, but I think that there's a lot of believers, you know, you talked about as Christians, you know, having a heart connection with who our Father is. And I write about it in my book. I'm a conservative Christian because I didn't know there was any other kind. But for any believer to be willing to cast their vote, which is making a declaration and a statement for an individual or a party whose party platform says abortion is okay, that person, there's something off in that person's heart as a believer for them to be willing to do that and support somebody that supports ending, murdering, maiming the lives of our most cherished and innocent gifts from God. And unfortunately, we see it, you know, it's rampant in the Black churches and a lot of churches around this country where they will give a platform to politicians whose platform is for murdering babies. And that is 110%, I mean, 1,000% against anything that God would want to take place. And yet we see believers in churches that are promoting that side. In my heart and in my mind, nothing else matters. You were talking about a person's moral compass. If a person believes that it is okay in any way, shape, or form to harm, I'm thinking of my daughters that are grown now. They're 23 and 25, but I remember when they were little babies. For any person to think in any way, shape, or form it's okay to dismember a little baby while it's still in the womb and then suck it out with a vacuum or any of the other abhorrent, evil stuff, for any believer to think that's okay, something's off. And for a politician to think that that's okay and even try to champion that, then their whole moral compass is off. Nothing else to me matters if that point right there isn't solid. If they're not standing up for the lives of unborn babies like Donald Trump did and does, and a lot of other individuals do as well, but if a politician that wants to represent me is not solid on that point, I don't care what color they are or who they are, they're not getting my vote. And unfortunately, I think that resolve is missing in a lot of lives, hearts, and minds of believers around the country.
Yeah. Well, it's discernment. You know, that's the thing, is that the word, you know, in the beginning was God, but the beginning was the word and the word was God. So it's like, bottom line, it's he tells us what's right and wrong. We choose to do otherwise. And somehow then we mold our religion around that to fit what we think is right, but it's not our words, it's his words. So that's the thing, is that like, if you follow what he says, you can't go wrong. You get a good scope. But what's culturally right, or what's, you know, I guess you could say, you know, popularity, or, you know, politically correct, is not what's biblically correct, right? We know that, because we can see how, you know, even me with pop culture stuff, the things that I would say and do always was not rooted with God. And I've left all of that out there because I want people to see how he's changed me, how really he's changed me, how I carry myself, how I speak, and now what I do. And it is a constant highs and lows and wait, okay, I got to get refocused on you, God, because I see a lot of that, especially with the political stuff, and people are throwing jabs, and I'm like, hold on, you need to get rooted in God. You need to get rooted in God. And that's what bothers me so much, is some of these people are using God and there's like, he's not present. And they're like, oh, well, God. And I'm like, but if you say that, then you should also follow it up with, you know, what's right and wrong, because he says it. You know what I mean? He tells us. And someone asked me, actually, who's in studio, Brandon, you know, when everything happened, he said to me, you know, what's your thoughts and take on the election, everything? And I said, you know what, Brandon, I know God never fails. And more people are praying now than they ever did. So if he did it for that.
Yeah. And a lot of Christians, I think, are waking up, you know, to what happened and to what.
That's right.
Even if he got 60, if he only would have got 40, there's no way they would have been able to make it look like he still won. But unfortunately, a lot of people, a lot of believers still cast their vote for him. And there's a lot of people waking up. I agree.
But if that was the reason, if that was the only reason, and Brandon said, fair enough, you know, because it's true. It's like, you know what, if that's the reason, God, if it went this way so you can wake up your children to understand what's seriously happening, more people are in prayer now, more people are aware now, and I feel like this is the revival time. This is real revival time, and where it's now going to be, and you know, I feel like if you're not a part of it, you're not going to be cool. Like, it's moving into where the cool kids are, and if you knew, you knew, you're sitting back going, see, I told you, I know, you know, and I think that that's what's happening, because a lot of people, even on your page, you're posting a lot more content that's driving with your faith. It's not just like, oh, I'm a fair weather Christian and I kind of just post every so. You're actually now taking a really strong stance as a Christian man. You have for a while, but I feel like now you're really pushing it. And the response, how has the response been?
It's, people are surprised. It's interesting. It's kind of both. It's both ways. If I ever, anytime I have an opportunity to speak, and I travel the country and speak at a variety of venues, a lot politically, obviously, Turning Point invites me to speak. I've had, you know, Trump rallies, not the Trump rallies, but other like deplorable rallies that I've spoken at. And anytime I have an opportunity to speak, I'm always praying ahead of time, asking Papa what he wants me to deliver. What message, what main message is he wanting me to speak to the hearts and minds of people that are listening? So I always talk about God anytime I speak. And then on stage, and then posting wise, most of my posts were kind of on what's hot here or there. And sometimes I'll have an opportunity to say something, or I'll add something to it. But I've been getting more and more, obviously, as you said, I think more of the posts, it's, people are starting to see it now. And now I'm getting more invitations to preach in church. So I'm preaching at a church in New York in the beginning of June. I spoke at a church here in Dallas, Texas, about 2-3 weeks ago with Mario Murillo and Robbie Dawkins. I'm invited to speak at a church in North Carolina, Charlotte, in August. So yeah, it's coming out. It's not like I was hiding it, but I think just in the progression of, you know, all the social media stuff's really just been over the last couple of years. And a lot of what I was trying to post initially was, you know, my takes on certain issues. But when I've had an opportunity to speak about my faith, a lot of people are surprised. And then they're even more thankful that they follow me and that they, you know, appreciate my content, because they know more about my heart. So it's a blessing and a privilege to be where I'm at and get to share and speak life and faith and encourage other people. It's definitely a must right now, more than ever.
See, I knew it. I knew that that you were going to be doing more, because God was like, we have to have you on the show. And I'm like, well, there you have it, because you're doing all of the, he has plans. He has big plans. But I think that's what's happening. You know, separation between wheat and chaff is definitely happening at this time. You're seeing people really kind of go over here, and they're blossoming because God has plans. So I felt that with you. I have definitely felt that with you, because your content is so, it's taking such an expansion in the realm of influencers and social media faces. You, in my opinion, have a long lifespan as someone who's, you know, to watch out for. You know, you're going to do a lot of things. I mean, I've been in entertainment a long time, but you can tell those that don't understand how it works, and you can tell those that have their ear to the ground and they're rooted with listening to divine intervention. And when you listen to where you need to be directed, you'll have a great career, you know, because it's really rooted for him. You know, it's not about us. And when you lead, when you let him just take the wheel and lead, you end up in a better place no matter what, hands down. So what can we expect from you, David? So you have the book, Why I Couldn't Stay Silent, right? But what else do you have going on, and what can people look forward to that maybe you haven't been able to share, or you can share a little bit more in depth with those that don't know you as well? But so everyone knows you here. Everyone knows you, guaranteed.
So I'm working on my second book. It's a little bit slower than my first book, but still promoting my first book. Anybody can get that at davidharrisjr.store. I'm working on some things with my wife this year. We're actually looking to launch a couple things that are really exciting. I've been a serial entrepreneur. I started my first company when I was 20, and God just absolutely blessed it. He knocked my socks off with it. And it's interesting back then, because, you know, at 21, 22 years old, I was doing $2 million a year in sales. And I felt like I was walking on water for a little while. And then I took my eyes off Jesus. That was part of my fall, was here's this young, you know, 20, 22 year old guy with 200 grand a month going through his account. I handled things pretty well for a while, but then it just felt, I felt like I was walking on water. Pride crept in. And so I'm glad that God enabled me to taste that in my 20s. So now in my 40s, I'm ready for what he really wants me to do. And what I really see him doing is my wife and I are going to be doing things together. So all my businesses has normally just been me launching, CEO, find a team, build the business, you know, find employees, create a way for others to create a service, handle a service, represent a product, and generate income. So I love helping people do that, but it's mostly been myself. So this year, my wife and I are planning on launching actually two different things. And I'm really excited about that. I won't go into details yet. We'll save that for another time. But I'm really excited for the opportunity to work with my bride on these two different entities, these two different brand ideas that are still coming out of us, but coming out of what we believe and feel God is leading us to do and what he wants us to champion. So that's really exciting stuff. If anybody's not following me, it's you always have my J in there, my middle initial J. It's David J. Harris Jr. And speaking around the country and just, you know, trying to say yes to what Papa continues to bring my way if I feel he's on it.
Well, I think he's going to be bringing a lot your way. And we have to get you here at the sanctuary here at City of Destiny in Orlando to come out and speak. We'd love to get you out here to City of Destiny. I think that's the coolest thing is I actually get to film inside a sanctuary. So we're filming actually inside a sanctuary. So it's very, very cool. So God is present. God is here. And I'm just so happy you came on the show, David. I always ask the guests to minister or give whatever you feel is in your heart or the Holy Spirit's put on your heart to share with the world. Just kind of a final note from you before I go into a prayer, because I would love to pray over you and for those that are watching. So take it away, whatever you think the Holy Spirit wants you to share with the viewers today.
Absolutely. Well, first, I just want to say thank you to everybody that's watching, that stayed on to hear my story. And I just know I felt Holy Spirit impressing on me that through this message that there's been people that are listening, that are feeling some conflicting things. You want to believe that God is good. You want to believe that you can be redeemed. You want to believe that even your mistakes or things that have been done to you can be turned into something good and beautiful. But then there's that bitterness. Then there's that heartache. Then there's that pain that's screaming, but wait, this happened to me. Somebody needs to address this. I need somebody to be held accountable for this. This needs to be made right. And what I want you to do, if you're feeling that right now, what I want you to do, I'm seeing him show me this for you. What I want you to do, if this is you, if you're holding on to pains, if you're holding on to heartaches, if you're holding on to past situations, circumstances, relationships that you can feel they're weighing you down right now, I want you to just in your mind's eye, just hold those things in front of you. Just put them in front of you in your hands. Just put all those things in front of you in your hands. All the heartache, the betrayal, the pain, the hurt that you went through. Literally see it in your hands, everything that you've gone through and everything that you feel is holding you back. And then I ask Holy Spirit to reveal even more. What are some of the things that they're not even thinking of that should be in their hands right now? What are some of those things that are holding them back from encountering you 100% that should be in their hands? And if you're seeing more, just put those things in there, put those circumstances, put those situations, put those moments of time in your hands. And then at the count of three, I want you to lift your hands and release those to your Papa God. One, two, three. Just lift them up and let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. And now that your hands are up and they're open, invite Papa, invite Daddy. Say, Father God, come into my life afresh and renew. Flood, drench every aspect of me that was not open to you. Heal all the wounds, heal all the hearts. Fill me with your presence and your love, like David shared you did in his life. Fill me afresh and anew right now with your presence, with your love, and with a new revelation of your love for me. So just keep praying that right now. Just sit there in that moment, and I'm going to pray for you. Father, you're such a good, good daddy. You love your kids so much. Father, I ask you to fill with your precious Holy Spirit, head to toe right now, every person that's watching, every person that's praying, every person that wants to know you more, fill them, God. Wrap them up with your presence like a comforter, like a warm blanket. Wrap them up with your presence and ignite this moment in their heart. Mark this moment in time in their heart right now that they'd never be the same. They'd never be able to not know your love and to say that you don't love them throughout everything. Fill them up. I speak healing into their soul, into their spirit. Refresh and renew them, God. And make today feel like the first day of a beautiful relationship with their Papa God. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 That was so good. I'm like, how can I, but we have to pray over you. So let's just continue in worship. Father God, thank you so much for being the incredible Father that you are. Thank you for blessing this world with David Harris Jr. Thank you for having him on the program. Thank you to everybody that is watching or listening to today's show. Father, just continue to lift up David. Continue to lift up his beautiful wife, Jennifer, and their two girls. Father God, continue to minister to his mind. You have rescued him. You have saved him. You know everything that is in his heart. You know every hair that is on his head and not on his head. Father, you know your son so well. And so we just decree and declare continued grace and fire and verve for you, Father, for David and for everything that he has been put on this earth to do for you. Father, just continue to minister to your children who are watching today, who are uncertain God. Or not sure about where they should go. Give them clarity, give them peace, give them strength, give them understanding. Let them know that they are to be adored and to shine bright for you, Father, just like Matthew 5:13 to 5:15, where he said, you're a light on a hill. You got to be that light in this time, everyone. Please, please continue to get closer to your Father in heaven. He loves you. He's adored you from day one. He knew you in heaven when you lifted your hand and said, send me, God. He has known you every day of your life. So continue to just get closer to him, get into a covenant with him. And Father, please protect David, his family, and everyone watching. Protect them and their families on their journeys this week and whatever they have that they are facing. Give them renewed energy for you, Father God. Give them renewed love for you, Father God. Let them know that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, El Shaddai, the conqueror of death and the grave. Father God, we're just so grateful that we get to be in your presence every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Father, I just felt this for you, Kaya. Father, I just so thankful for Kaya, for her choosing to use her voice and her platform to honor you and to bring people into a fresh and a new encounter with you. And I just bless everything that you're doing in Kaya's life. And I just heard the Lord speak, and he said, what the enemy is meant for bad, God is going to use for good. And the enemy has stolen things from you. Even in the natural, there's things that you should have had. And I think this word, I know it's going for other people that are watching too, that have had things taken from them, but things that have been taken from you, Kaya, God is going to return those sevenfold. It's going to be a compounding on what the enemy took from you that God is going to give back to you sevenfold. That's compound, that's multiplication. So I believe that for you, Kai. He's going to continue to extend your tent page, your platform, and he's going to multiply back what the enemy took from you. And if that's somebody watching that the enemy's taking something from you too, then hold on and hang on to that word. That's for you too.
Thank you, David. Oh, no dry eyes here. You were crying. I'm now crying. Thank you, David. Thank you for coming on the program, and thank you for sharing your love for God. Because more men need to see that it is so cool when you build a relationship with him. It is not just a whatever thing, and it's definitely not uncool. It is super cool to sit with a brother in Christ, someone who respects and honors his lovely bride and his beautiful children. And your testimony, your life, your living testimony to God's grace, David, you really are. I'm so grateful, Kaya, that we had you on today's show. Thank you for
coming on. Such a pleasure and honor to be with you. God bless you. I'm excited for what
Papa has for you. God bless you.
Well, friends, I hope that interview blessed you, enriched you, and encouraged you. I felt so encouraged to be able to share what I did. And for all of you right now that may be just thinking for your own self, you're like, you know, I need to get back closer to God. I need my relationship with my Heavenly Father. I need that closer for me. So just a special prayer for you right now. Father, I'm just so thankful for the one that's still listening to this, that continued to listen because they felt that there was a message in there for them. And Father, I believe that not only what they've heard so far was tugging on their heart to get closer to you, but this message and this prayer is for them. Father, I pray that right now you would just release your presence, your precious Holy Spirit that's here in this realm with us, this earthly realm with us, to reveal you and your love to us. Holy Spirit, reveal the Father's love to that one listening right now, that young man, that young woman, that grandma, that grandpa, the single dad, the single mom, every single person listening, even in their car right now as they're driving, maybe even stuck in traffic. I just pray you'd reveal your love to them. Make it real to them like never before, how much you love and care about them. And Father, I just pray that today they would just make a decision to say, I'm going to seek you more. I'm going to seek you more than I've ever sought you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get into a good church. I'm going to listen to good worship. I'm going to get surrounded by your presence. And I'm going to talk to people that talk about you. And I just pray that as they do that, you would meet them every step of the way. So, Father, fill them with your peace. Fill them with your hope. Fill them with your presence, afresh and anew,
this day, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friend, if you prayed that prayer and if you want a closer relationship, reach out to somebody that you know. We all know them, people that talk about God, people that talk about our Heavenly Father, those that are bold to share and speak about who they believe in and why they believe in Him. Reach out to somebody. Reach out to whoever is coming to your mind right now. Oh, yep, that person, I know them. They talk about God. Reach out and just let them know that you prayed a prayer, that you were listening to David and Kaya, and God met you, and you prayed a prayer, and you want to get serious in your relationship with seeking our Heavenly Creator. So I'm just thankful for you. Please, if this message blessed you, share it with friends, share it with family, share it with someone that you know needs to be encouraged today. Share it with them, share it with as many friends as possible. And please download and like this this broadcast, this podcast. And that helps the podcast people know that I've got an audience that enjoys what I share. So God bless you today. Have an amazing rest of your day. I'm praying for you and I'm believing that God has amazing things in store for you. So just keep on keeping on and be good and enjoy life every day. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.